Father, we thank you for this morning already, God. Lord, I thank you that we've already had church. God, thank you for community. Thank you that we are here to bear one another's burdens. Lord, thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you care about the details of our life, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would anoint the rest of this meeting, that you would go before me as I share, and Lord, just that we would all hear from you. I would hear from you as I'm up here, and just bring us to a higher place in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Speaking of teaching and the new seasons, there's a phrase that I like to say whenever I'm stepping out into something that might be a little uncomfortable, whenever I'm being stretched a little bit in the Lord, there's this phrase that I love to say to myself right before I step out and do this. I say it before the first day of school. First day of school is the only day that I get a little nervous. Just the first day, that first morning. Not recess. After that first recess, it might as well be the 50th day of school. But that first morning where you just, there's a little bit of butterflies. And I say this phrase to myself. I said it before VBS every morning when there's 100 kids out here. And I just kind of say this little phrase to myself before I go out and do it. And I'm really wanting you to get thirsty for what this phrase is. It's a phrase that it's not in the Bible, although I think it's very biblical. And it was actually given to me by David and Courtney, who several years ago went down to Africa. And they were about to step out into some service project with kids and really be stretched. And the leader that was there with them pulled them aside and said this phrase to them. And I'm going to tell you that phrase at the end of the sermon. I'm just kidding. So this phrase that he said to them, David came back and he told me that, like this, I mean, this is 10 years ago. He told me this story and I grabbed that phrase. And honestly, I text David on the first day of school every year. I text the phrase and he says it back to me. So here is the phrase that we say and say before anything that big being stretched. You ready for it? Here it is. Well, now it's better be good. It is. You were born for days like this. Isn't that awesome? You were born for days like this. Changes the whole perspective about what you are about to step out into. It says that there's purpose in what you're about to do, that the way you were created and all the events leading up to this moment is ordained by God for this time, that God is completely aware and involved about what you are about to step out to do. You were born for days like this. And our tagline of VBS this year was created by God, built for a purpose. And that's what I wanted to share about today. Created by God, built for a purpose. Those things that we were born to do. You were born for days like this. Dictionary.com, which is right where I go for definitions now. I don't think we own an actual dictionary. Shane, if you still own an actual dictionary, there you go. Nice. But I go to dictionary.com. And they define purpose as the reason for which something exists or is done, made, or used. The reason for which something exists or is done, made, or used. That there is a reason for things, purpose. Each one of us in our life is called to a purpose. It's called for a reason. There are different types, and our minds right now go to lots of different things. We might think our career, you know, that our calling, our purpose. There are the universal truths for everyone in this room, our purpose to love God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul that we all have, that each one of us has, that are true for each one. But there are specific purposes that are unique to each of us as well. So I wanted to read from Ephesians 2:8-10. And I'm going to stop after 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's easy to stop there. For by grace you have been, it's such a great verse. This is an awesome verse saying of how we are saved, that it is not by what we do. Here's that verse. It's not about being good or earning our salvation. This verse gets that, it's a gift. It gets rid of that whole notion of works to earn our salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. No one's going to brag up in heaven that they earned their way into heaven. We're just going to be saying thank you to Jesus for what he did. But the next verse is so important. We don't want to stop there and just get comfortable there because we're not done. We're not done. There is a purpose. So in 10, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. There are things that God wants us to do. It is not, we just had Harvest Crusade this weekend. I don't know if anybody went. Greg Laurie, so many people, thousands. I mean, I can't even count how many people have probably come to the Lord at Anaheim Stadium through Greg Laurie. It was just this weekend. And their adventure, those that just met Jesus for the first time last night, it is not time to spike the football and do their touchdown. It is, in one sense, do their touchdown dance. They are saved. They are going to heaven. Okay, they are justified. Their sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did. They have asked him in their heart. They have repented, and Jesus' blood has washed them clean. They are saved. They are justified before God, just as if I'd never sinned. That's how God sees them now. But their adventure has just begun. The works, the purpose that God now has for their life, that sanctification process that we are all going through. Each one of us is going through. They're all at different stages. I heard someone say, sanctification is God working out in our lives what the justification already says. He's turning us into who he sees us as. He sees us as perfect. And then the sanctification process is getting closer and closer, conforming us to the image of his son. That goes on for a whole lifetime. We never get there on this side of eternity, but some get further along than others. But that's the sanctification process. And along that way, God's going to use us. He wants to use you. And that is the coolest thing, that God has these works prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We are all called to a purpose, whatever it is. He uses us. He chooses us to be used. Matt said something that I never loved, this thing that he said. He says, don't ever pray to God, ask God something that you are not willing to be the answer to that prayer. I wish he never told me that. Don't ever ask God something that you're not willing to be the answer to that prayer. So it's convicting, it's stepping out in faith, God working through us, but being used by him, being part of it. He can rip open the heavens and just stick his head out and say, I'm here. Believe in me, and he could do so many amazing things, but he, for his reasons and his ways, he uses us, which is really kind of exciting when you think about it. Walking in purpose means using your gifts for God's ends and not your own. Using those gifts that you have when we're walking in his purposes for God's ends, for his ends, not our own ends. It's asking what God is doing here. What is he doing? What is he saying about this? And everyone's is unique. There are those universal ones that we talked about that we all have, growing closer to the Lord, glorifying him, loving him. but there are specific things that God is going to use you for that is different than me, that I am not prepared to do, that he has not fashioned in me to do those things that he has created a heart in you to do, because you're unique. Every one of us is unique. Get that one picture, Ethan. What is that? DNA. That's DNA. There's over 3 billion DNA strands inside the human body, and everyone's is unique. You are made unique. In Psalm 139, you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to keep reading. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. God has crafted us uniquely and specifically for purposes. And everyone's is different. I can't do what you're doing. Some things, but there are spheres of influence and places, arenas, relationships that God has placed you in. 1 Corinthians 12 says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everyone has been blessed with something for the common good, to be used uniquely. I talked about VBS. When I'm out here in front of 100 plus kids, there are people in this room that would probably intimidate very much to not want to be in a room of all these kids. I love being up there in front of kids like that. When I'm up, it's like right in my wheelhouse. I love being up there because God has uniquely made me and so many others, and John and Sean and Bob and so many other people that are doing their own parts in that in a specific way, made for that. But there are other parts of VBS that I'm terrible at. You know, I don't do the snacks or order the things for snack. That kind of stuff, I'm not good at that. You know, that we've learned the art of delegation in VBS and put others that's their gift. Who would be good at drafting a letter to give to the parents, you know, when they come here? And Ellen Mueller, she's great at it. That's her thing. She wants to do it. She doesn't want to be a small group leader. Okay, that's not her area, but she would be okay with that. But in here, in the doing the name tags and emails and things like that, she shines. Because that's what her thing is. That's what her gifting is. And she's so good at it. My wife, Erin, who could come up here and do all that in VBS, but she's just working everything behind the scenes during VBS. While I'm up here dancing around, doing all these hand motions, she's putting out fires and doing so much because that's her gifts. That's what she's good at. So that's what I love about VBS is that you see that, everyone working in those gifts. And if somebody's not in their gifts, they let us know, you know, and they say, you know, I don't want to do this. I'd rather do that. You know, so another specific area. But it is fun. I don't want to say that only operate in your comfort zone. It's okay that God will put you out of your comfort zone. That's a good thing too. I remember when I first started dating Erin, I've taught elementary school for 20 years, at that time 10 years when we first started dating, something like that. And Erin was the high school youth pastor. You know, and I coached football and you know, I've worked with high school kids, but I never was a youth pastor at all. And Catherine Urban was in the group, and Bo Beardsley, and Will, and Michael Green, all these guys, they were in our youth group. So that was a little more of a stretch for me, because that's not who I work with. You know, that's the high school kids, which I love doing. And I love when we're stretched in those areas, because we rely even more on God to do it. So if he puts you in a certain area that stretches you to rely on him to work, for him to work through you, that's a good thing. and that's operating in purpose as well. But we all have unique gifts. I remember the church I went to before here, it required setup and tear down every day. We didn't have a building. We were in a school, so every Sunday we had to take out all the chairs and put up these giant curtains and all these things. And there was this friend of mine, you know, everyone's tearing stuff down, and he's not. Like, he's not helping. I go, hey, why don't you grab a chair or something like that? And he jokingly says, oh, it's not my gift. That's not my gift. And he smiles, and I laugh, ha-ha, but then he doesn't pick up a chair. He walks away. You know, I think he's kind of grabbed hold of that. Oh, that's not my gift. So we want to be careful that those things that God is calling you to, don't hop on that one. Oh, that's not my gift. Pick up a chair. That's one of the universals that we can all do. So everyone is unique in their purpose, and everyone has been uniquely prepared for that purpose. The things in your life have led you to this. Romans 8:28. It's amazing, well-known verse. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He is working in our experiences and the things in our life to conform us into the image of his son, to be used by him. I love Cooper a couple of weeks ago. For those of you that are here, he showed that wire cable that was just out of the trash and how they put it in the furnace and the heat and the hammering of it because it was going to be crafted into a knife. So somebody saw the knife in that worthless, thrown away piece of cable. They saw the knife. God sees the knife in us. He sees the tool in each one of us, and he's going to get us there. He's going to prepare you to be used, and the more resist, just the harder he's going to have to hit on that anvil, you know, but he sees it, and he's going to bring us through it. So the best thing to do is what? Just surrender. Give up. That's such a great word. Surrender. I give up. Because, I mean, when we come to the Lord, that's what we do, isn't it? We give up. We say, I can't do it. I can't get to heaven. You did it for me. That's such a good place to be. Same thing with this process. Let God work in us. Let God chip away at those things in our life. I love, one of my favorite Bible characters is Joseph. And in Genesis, after Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, he was charged with a crime he did not commit, sent to the dungeon. But God was in all of this, and God used it to save thousands of people in Egypt, to get him in that place of power. And he was able to decipher the Pharaoh's dreams and was able to help Egypt store away grain for the famine and things like that. And then he ended up bringing his very brothers, who had sold him into slavery, to do a very bad thing, essentially killing him, and he brought them in. And I love this verse in Genesis 50, verse 18 through 20. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. It's his own brothers, because Joseph's now in power. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Those things that we go through in our life, God uses to prepare us for these purposes, and everyone's is unique. Aaron is an amazing special education teacher. She taught for 8 years? 10 years. She's more like this. 10 years, Capo District, moderate to severe kids with autism, and loves her job. Loved it. And is passionate about it. Then we had kids, and she came home and has been at home. We made that decision those years ago. But I always knew that God's not done with her in that area. Like, she was just so good at it. She was so good at it with these kids and these parents and things and IEPs and the law and all this stuff. And I knew that God wasn't finished with her. It was actually kind of like a shadow hanging over me. It's like, what's he going to do? Like, I didn't know how he was going to use this still. And then sure enough, as we step into Cade's world with everything, with having a stroke and a brain tumor, he was typical up until pretty much 5 years old. And now guess what? We're on the other side of that table. We are now on the other side of those IEP meetings with 30 people around. And it didn't take them very long to realize she knows more than most of them about the law and their rights. They know. They're not going to get away with anything. Because all of that before, with her experience as a teacher, was for this. It was for this. And she, you know, as she's with other kids and stuff, and the information and what she knows, she uses with kids, and now David is working with kids with autism as well. But seeing God's hand in it. Last night, because school, honestly, with everything that we've been going through with Cade, with insurance and medical and diagnoses and second opinions, you know what's been the most pushback? School. Getting services and because they don't tip their hands. They don't let you know unless you ask. And it's all about covering themselves. It's not a great thing. That's why it's so great having a wife who knows everything about that. So already, Cade's about to go to middle school, and there's already some, we're all gung-ho, where he's fired up, excited, we're excited, principal's amazing, love him, but there's been some class placement questions that we're having, and a little bit of already, school hasn't started yet, a little pushback and having to fight, and that's what we've been doing this for 5 years, having to fight, and we're just kind of getting tired of the fight, you know, with having to keep fighting for it. But, you know, just last night, and I wrote this down as she went up the stairs after she said it, because knowing that here we go and that we're driving the ship, Aaron says, you know, I am excited to play this role with Cade. I'm excited to be the one leading this charge with him and making these calls and really teaching him, because a lot of it's going to be at home. And I'm excited to be his teacher. And then she says, ain't no mountain high enough. That's what she said. Ain't no mountain high enough. And went up to bed. That's my wife. That's awesome. You know, and I'm so thankful and blessed, and it's purpose. It's working in purpose. And God, you're in it. You know, just opening your eyes to it. You know, opening your eyes to it. Somebody asked me a while ago what it was that what do you think's been the biggest thing that got you through or is getting you through everything with Cade? And Kevin already shared, and we've talked about it, having a brain tumor and a stroke and rehab and all of this intense medical things going on, and especially at those beginning months and years, what was it that has gotten you through? And I think the biggest thing is that right away, literally within the first day, we were seeing God's purpose. We saw purpose in it. Whether it's the kid in the next room who is there by themselves calling out to mom because mom and dad can't be there and they have to work so they can pay for the medical bills. Whether it's the family that is there and is hurting, and we just see the purpose in all of it. And now, it's really neat that one of the things we love and we are so thankful for is that since day one, Cade has owned his story. He has never looked at it, and neither have we, as this bad thing that happened to me. If once I'm through this, then get back to normal and go. He's never looked at it like that. He's never looked at it as something bad that's happened to him. It's just, he's always owned it, and he shares it. Now we're at a place where he shares his own story and loves doing it. So I have this picture, and this was him at the very beginning, during the dark times. You know, this is days after he had had a stroke. This is Cade. He's about 5 years old. This might have even been his fifth birthday. Look at the aides, though. Look at the smile. You know, the nurse and even Aaron smile. Like, this was a good day. Hard to believe. But this difficult time right here, this, all these things that we've walked through, that he's walked through, that God has brought us through, people we've met, experiences that we've had, this is for that. Because there's Cade sharing his story with all of those people. That's actually at Concordia University. And that's Cade owning his story. And there's been so many different experiences like that. We just got a call yesterday through the Jesse Reese Foundation to share his story at Santa Margarita High School. He's going to do that in a couple weeks. So these things that you're going through, these things that you've been through as you look back, are leading you to be used for God's purpose. And it is unique. It is unique. It isn't something that anyone else can share. I've been ordained 9 years, I think it was, 2008. I think it was 9 years. And in all that time, because when you're ordained as an elder, you can marry people and bury people. I've married one couple, and I'm okay with that. No, I loved it. But I got to marry Philip and Alex Congelier. And a lot of you are well aware of what they've been going through and with infertility. And they're not hiding it. They have made the choice in the midst of their pain to invite others into it and get out there and tell that story. And with technology and social media, it's so easy to do. It's amazing. And now they have a vlog through YouTube, and thousands of people are following them every day. They get stopped in the mall. Hey, Philip and Alex, like, from people that are following their story. And they have decided to take that pain that they're still in the midst of and find the purpose in it and be used by God to help others. Again, all of that, whatever that is, is for this. So if I've only married one couple, I'll brag about Philip and Alex. Yeah, I married them. Rabbi Zacharias says, I've shared this, people have shared this, God trained Moses in a palace to use him in a desert. He trained Joseph in a desert to use him in a palace. God trained Moses in a palace to use him in a desert. He trained Joseph in a desert to use him in a palace. So how do we find this purpose, whatever it is that God has? Start by asking, Lord, what is it? Because it's probably much more obvious than you might think. It's probably right in front of your face. I hope no one is taking this as a career change. Okay, that's not where I'm going with this. Like, oh, I knew it. I knew I was supposed to be that movie director. I'm quitting tomorrow. Right? That's not what I'm saying. Okay? It's in that mundane job that you don't love, there's purpose in it. Because it might just be the guy working next to you or the girl that worked next to you that is going through so much, and we have blinders on. We're not open to that. Okay? Once you start asking about their lives and getting into that, you have now opened up this purpose and really pouring into somebody, and it takes something from you. It's a sacrifice. But it's such an adventure that we don't want to miss. So it could be anywhere. It is in our day-to-day. It's those, we call them divine appointments that we all have. And it's just being aware of them when it happens. God will show it to you. He's getting so much better at it with me, or I'm getting better at it. You know, with people that are going through things, and, you know, for so long I didn't see it. And Aaron's like, no, that's God's put that person in your life, you know, to pour into. They're going through something very similar to us. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. Like, after the conversation, I totally missed it. You know, but I've asked him, Lord, show me this in the middle of those conversations, in the midst of those interactions. Tap me on the shoulder, God, say, hey, this is it. this is one of those purpose things. Yeah, and then rely on him to work through us. Those are those good works that God created beforehand that we should walk in them. Can we miss it? Yes, we can miss it. Because we might be looking for the grand, the great thing, whatever, you know, the big, awesome headline deal, whatever that is. And it could just be the humdrum. It's right in that. You could be in the midst of one of those big ministries and be totally missing God's purpose. Even though you're out there and you're being used, and you could be missing a purpose that he's got right in front of you. And at the same time, you could be in that normal humdrum life and be walking in such fulfillment and such purpose. And I think when we get to heaven, obviously there's not going to be a tear. He will wipe away the tears. Why are we going to have tears to wipe away? Maybe he's going to show us those missed opportunities. And then he's going to wipe the tears away. And we'll never worry about them again. I don't know. But we don't want to miss those. So just to ask him, show us, Lord, those divine opportunities. I taught 10 years. My first 10 years of teaching was awesome. But I was at a point where I was just kind of, you know, teaching in a public school, reading the Chronicles of Narnia, which I haven't talked about in a very long time. Just want to throw that out there for when I go back. Okay, and I'm not going there right now. But I remember saying, God, what am I doing? Like, what is this? You know, I'm teaching math, history, all that stuff. Yeah, I'm reading the Narnia books, but am I doing anything for you, for your kingdom here? You have to show me something. And right there that year, there was a student who, you know, I had been sharing with her about Narnia and stuff because I knew she was a believer and all this. And in that relationship with school, she says, you know, I'm getting baptized in 2 weeks, and I want you to be there. I want you to be at my baptism. It was actually the Pettit, Julia Pettit, Paul and Donna Pettit are here, her daughter, who's now graduated college. And that day that she had on the calendar to be baptized, I couldn't do it. I had something. She moved it. She said, well, we'll do it here then, this day. And it was God answering that prayer. So you are doing something. You are working in your purpose in that. And honestly, through Julia Pettit, started this thing at my school, the Good News Club, which is a worldwide ministry, an after-school club. And Julia's bringing all her friends. And this thing went to 30, 35 kids. And it was awesome. It still is. Still doing it to this day. From those Good News Clubs, when we did our first VBS, and the oldest kid we had here was Jack, and he was 4 years old, or Sam, and we had no youth, we had no leaders. It's not true. We had a couple of high schoolers, but we needed more, and we needed more kids. And it was through those kids, through that Good News Club, that all these kids that are here to this day at our VBS, it was all, can trace it all through that. God working through this relationship and Good News Club and bringing these kids. Kate Pettit's in the back working right now with Ashley Johnson. And a lot of you need to thank me because I know you're using them for babysitters. Okay, and nothing irks me more when I say, hey, we have a big church thing this Friday night. Can I use you? Oh, no, so-and-so already booked me. And I laid it on the line. I said, time out. If there is a church-wide function, you check with me first, okay? But it was God, me being open and being aware and being used by God in a job that I wasn't certain that he was doing anything, and he was, and he still is, and he's doing it in your life. We've all have a unique sphere of influence. We were at the Shea Center, Shea Therapeutic Writing Center. Awesome dad there named Chuck, believer, amazing family, couple, doing things for the Lord. They have an older son named Brad who's been writing at the Shea Center for 20 years. And they're working on him developing independence. He's actually out on his own. You know, and we talked to Chuck, and because really Chuck is just 20 years ahead of us in some ways, you know, in walking this walk. And we were sharing some of the things that Cade was doing and some of the opportunities he's had. And Cade said, you know, not Cade, Chuck. He said, what a world you guys have been thrown into. What a world you've been thrown into. You know, and it made me stop. You know, and it's so true. I never would have thought we'd be here where we are right now. And to each one of us, what a world you've been thrown into. What a world you've been strategically placed into to affect people that others are not gifted to affect, to impact. Others have not been prepared the way you have been prepared, that God has brought you to this world, wherever your walk is, your sphere of influence, business, teaching, whatever it is that you're doing, it's unique to you, and God wants to use you in it. And we just want to have our eyes open to it, ask him what it is, and see it. See that purpose that he has uniquely made you for. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, God, that you use us. Lord, thank you that in the dealings of this world and bringing people into your kingdom and furthering your kingdom, God, you want to use each of us. And you have uniquely gifted everyone in this room. You have brought people into their lives, God, that you want to use them. God, you want to use them in only ways that they can do. So, Lord, help us. Help us to open up our eyes to that, to listen to your voice, to see those divine appointments when they happen. Give us the boldness to step out, Lord, and to know that we were made to do this, God. That's what we were meant to do, to be used for you, by you, and for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.